Local Men, Local Communities is a great initiative by the South Gippsland Shire Council. And over the past months, we've looked at some of the activities local men have initiated to get men and local communities connected. But there's a lot of research and statistics that show that people are becoming more and more disconnected from their communities and more socially isolated. And this is concerning to many people, including Andrew Lee, who has been researching this for many years and has written several books on the subject. Now, Andrew has great qualifications to support this research. Among his many achievements, he is a lawyer and a former associate of High Court Judge Justice Michael Kirby. He studied his PhD in public administration at Harvard University in the United States and was a professor of economics at the Australian National University in Canberra. And if that's not enough, for the past 12 years, he's been a member of Federal Parliament, and he's currently the Assistant Minister for Competition, Charities and Treasury in the Albanese government. Well, I caught up earlier with the Honourable Dr. Andrew Lee, MP, to discuss the disconnect many of us have with our local communities and what can be done to reconnect us. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you on the line. Now, you've published a number of books about social connection and the disconnect that people have with the community. And I was reading one the other day called Reconnected, a Community Builder's Handbook. And it sort of horrified me a bit to see some of the statistics that you came up with the way in which society seems to be breaking down.
Horrified's the perfect word, David, because that's certainly how I felt when I looked at these figures. I've been tracking the health of Australian communities for the last 20 years, but it really seems to have accelerated downwards during the COVID pandemic. Australians now have half as many close friends as we did in the mid-1980s. Back at the end of World War II, half of us attended religious services. Now it's down to a seventh. The share of Australians who play in organised sport has plummeted. And we've seen drops in the proportion of Australians who are volunteering or who are members of a trade union. As you say, we've become disconnected, and those trends, I think, are not only bad for the health of communities, but also bad for our physical and mental health, because we know that people who have more friends tend to be healthier. Someone who can take you along to the doctor, someone who can say, hey, mate, you feeling all right? Or someone who can just be a resource when times are tough.
Yes, I was amazed to look at some of the figures. You say in the late 70s and early 80s, there were 80 to 100 associations for every 100,000 people. And in 2019, when you wrote the book, only 19 had gone down from 80 to 100 to 19 per 100,000 people. That's one association for every 5,000 people. I know I'm talking a lot of stats here, but it really is a huge decline.
You're very rare in pulling out that figure there, David. I think many people think about the drop in community life as being people not joining the existing organisations. But it's also that Australia isn't birthing new community organisations like we did in the halcyon period following World War II, when many of our large community organisations were formed. And that means that we don't have that sort of spirit of innovation in the associations and community sector. I'm now the Assistant Minister for Charities, and one of the things I've been doing and talking to the sector is speaking about the need to create an environment in which people do start up these new community organisations. I think about Orange Sky Laundry, started by a couple of young blokes in Brizzy by putting washing machines in the back of vans and going around to homeless people. And the ostensible aim of Orange Sky was to give homeless people the chance to wash their clothes, but the real aim was the six orange chairs they put out, which give people a chance to sit down and talk about their problems.
Yeah, that's really good, and we're seeing it here in our area. For instance, at Wonthaggi, the local guides have been operating for 99 years. They can no longer get volunteers to lead the groups.
It really is a challenge with the sort of generational turnover. You've now got churches in Australia where more than half the congregation are in their 70s or older, and we need that generational revitalisation. So I think it's about reaching out to new community groups. Sometimes that's using technology to reach out. Sometimes that's accessing groups through the schools or through mentoring networks. Now, we need to remind people that being part of a community group is one of the most worthwhile things you'll ever do. When you're lying there in your funeral and people are talking about the things that you did in life, chances are they're not going to be talking about the promotions or the salaries. They're going to be talking about what you gave back to the community, how you made your friends feel, and what you created that outlasts you. So that community involvement really is the stuff of a good life.
Yeah, that's about me as an individual rather than as the community as a whole, though, isn't it?
It's a challenge for the community as a whole, and certainly the industrial changes that you've seen in your region are certainly important in terms of creating new needs for new community groups to spring up. You've got wonderful coastal community groups, and the surf clubs have been pretty important, and of course the RSLs are critical. But all of those require volunteers stepping up and giving their time, and that's why one of the things I'm aiming to do as Assistant Minister for Charities is really to rebuild the community sector, to make a case for a civic renaissance in Australia, not with government stepping back, but with government acting as a partner to these community organisations that we want to see flourishing.
I was going to ask about that, Andrew, because what can government do? I mean, some of the examples you quote in your book, and the example you just quoted of the laundry, is an initiative by individuals, but it really does need, I suppose, governments at all level to try and inspire people to get involved in the community.
Yeah, I think it's about creating the environment in which charities can flourish and be recognised. We've had pretty tough times for charities because of attacks on their advocacy work over recent years and the way in which the Charities Commission has been run. We want to set up a cooperative relationship with charities, which is why next week I'll be starting a series of consultations across the country, engaging with charities and asking them what they'd like to see from government, as well as talking about some of the plans we've got to fix the hodgepodge of fundraising laws, to double philanthropy by 2030, to work in setting up an expert panel and a blueprint for improving the health of the sector. No one's ever wanted the charities portfolio as much as I did when I was fortunate enough to get it after the election, and I'm really keen to make the most of it, building community around the country.
What I've noticed in our community is I talk to a lot of people involved in the community, but they're the same people. Everybody who is involved in the community, or most people, tend to be involved in multiple activities all the time, run off their feet, and yet there are so many others who sit around saying, there's nothing to do. What's your advice to them?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's certainly a common story, isn't it? If you want something done, ask a busy person. And you see the same sets of people in each community who are the linchpins of the community and involved in many organisations. So I think the secret is to ask others. You look at surveys of volunteering. The number one reason for volunteering is because someone asked me. So don't ever assume that people won't be interested in stepping up. One of the things that we see as we've sort of gone into this spiral downwards is that when people are less likely to attend a religious service, then they're less likely to be asked to help out in the local surf club. If we get onto a virtuous cycle, we get more people involved in organisations, that'll be more touch points, more opportunities for people to volunteer and give back to their community. We also need to give opportunities where people can fit volunteering into a busy life, sometimes allowing people to tick a couple of boxes so you can help out the surf club and stay fit at the same time. So those sort of clever opportunities are being used by some of the charities that are growing against the tide right now.
What you were just saying is probably touched on part of the problem, is that people just don't have time, or they don't have the economic resources or whatever to get involved in extracurricular activities.
There's a bit of a time pressure, and certainly we're not seeking to return to the 1950s, an era in which rampant gender pay discrimination meant half the population were effectively locked out of paid employment and therefore threw their energies into the voluntary sector. We need to build a voluntary sector that works for two-earner households and for a much busier society. But I don't think that's beyond our wit, David. I think we can nail this one. I think there's great opportunities from an Australia which is more engaged with one another, where people are more willing to give back to the community. There's a recognition of that, you know, particularly around some of the mental health support groups, people setting up support groups with blokes getting together, often cross-generational, sharing their wisdom and getting the sense of community in those environments. And likewise, mothers' clubs have been very important for new mums in providing that sense of community.
Yes, we've had quite a number of different types of activities start up in South Gippsland. Golf Without Borders is one. Merbau North have a music group. There was another guy who set up a 24-hour table tennis marathon to raise funds for the local golf club, and really great activities.
It's terrific to see those sort of activities emerging, isn't it? And some of them sort of informal, and they'll just last for a little while, but they'll provide that sense of civic spirit. One of the great successes around the country recently has been Parkrun. 8 a.m. Saturday mornings, 5K, and it's always free. Very simple model, but a lovely way of spreading community. We've been down staying on Phillip Island the last couple of years, and I really admire the Phillip Island Nature Park run each Saturday morning, bringing together tourists and locals for a quick run. You get to stay fit, but many people come for the run and stay for the coffee afterwards.
So your advice to people who are, I put it this way, disconnected from the community, how can they get reconnected?
You can go to the Volunteering Australia site, which has a whole plethora of volunteering opportunities. You can go along to your local community group and offer to pitch in. Try things. You can always step back if you decide that it's not for you and it's not your community. But don't forget that chatting with strangers is one of the most rewarding things that we can do. And engaging in the community is something which is not only good for the community, but also good for yourself. There's a lovely little experiment, David, with a group of researchers in Chicago. Ask people before they get on a train, how do you think you'd feel if you had to chat to a stranger for the whole trip? And most people say, oh, I think it'd be terrible. And then they pay a subset of them to actually chat with a stranger, and then they interview them at the end of the journey. And how'd you find that? And most of them say, no, that was great. And they title the paper, Mistakenly Seeking Solitude. We're too reluctant to go out there and chat with people we don't know. When we do it, we find it's a lot of fun.
Andrew, I can relate to that. Working at 3MFM, we're a volunteer organisation, and I speak to lots of strangers like yourself, and it is really fascinating, and it really keeps you connected with the community. And I thank you today for your insights into this, and let's hope that people listening will pick up the phone or get on their bike and go and do something for the local community.
Well, thank you, David. And it's sort of gone without saying in this whole discussion, but community radio is such a big part of this. We lose community radio and we lose a huge part of the community. So tuning into your local community radio station really should have been top of my list for things to do to get us reconnected.
I agree. Totally agree. Andrew, thank you so much for talking to 3MFM today.
Thanks, David.
Andrew Lee, lawyer, economist, Member of Parliament and Assistant Minister for Competition, Charities and Treasury.
3M FM 88.1, 89.1, 89.5.